All right. Well, good, because I have a lot to say today. Let's pray for the message. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your spirit that is obviously here with us, God. Your presence is our provision. And so, Holy Spirit, will you give us ears to hear today your magnificent, holy word that never changes, just like you never change, God. Let us all receive something today from you that will be planted in our hearts like a good seed and rich soil that will bring forth good fruit in our life. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your faithful word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we finish the epistle of the Ephesians. I think, I feel like God wants us to go into a gospel. So we'll be starting the Gospel of John next week. Yeah, it's going to be good. I can't wait. What a rich few months this has been in Ephesians. And if you're new, you can go back and watch online. We go verse by verse. And you can go through the book of Ephesians with us. But I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't think I'll ever read that book the same now that we've really dissected it together. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful epistle. My prayer is that you have been drawn nearer to God as you've been applying the word to your thoughts, your speech, your actions, and your relationships as we've gone through this. Paul the Apostle speaks plainly and applicably all through this letter. The newly saved Gentiles from Ephesus were living in a culture that is not too different from ours. The worship of idols, sexual sin, the worship of self, and the rejection of the truth was rampant in Ephesus. Sound familiar? Paul exhorts the church to be set apart from their culture, to deny our old nature and embrace the new creation that we've become in Christ. We are equals in Christ. No one is above or below anyone else. So love each other. Submit to one another in reverence and honor of Christ, our King. He substituted his perfect life on the cross, paid the penalty for our sinful lives, and then resurrected as the first supreme one into the resurrected life promised to all who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul ends this letter with an exaltation and a battle cry. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Christ has brought us near to God and shares his inheritance with his people. This includes every weapon we need to fight our sin nature, to fight the satanic world system that we live in, and to fight the demonic. So I'm going to read the full, 10 through 17 for context. I'll refresh us on the first, three weapons that we went over last week, and then I'll dive into the last of them. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I'll review the first three that we went over last week. We went over the belt of truth. It says to buckle the belt of truth around our waist. It literally means to clothe ourselves, which is really saying be committed to the truth. It's a choice that we make. There's a middle voice to the scripture saying that nobody else can put this belt of truth on you. You have to do it yourself. You have to choose to commit your life to the truth, not allowing any deception to come in, but that you literally clothe your life. You've committed, I'm going to stay in the truth. I'm going to stay in what's true. So again, it's important for us to learn the word so we can understand the word and then do the word. It will protect us from any false doctrine, any kind of half truth or lie that might want to find its way in our ears. And I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again because it's relevant. What you see on social media is deception. Just a lot of one side and the other side. You know, is it true? I don't know. AI is pretty good. I'm right? You just don't know. Well, maybe. So it's important for us to stay in truth and have a balanced life where we're constantly feeding our spirit the truth, so we can discern the lies. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness, you know, putting it on. It's living rightly. It's doing the right thing for the right reasons at the right time, even when nobody's looking. It's committing to living rightly, even when nobody's looking. And I use this example because, one, it's from experience, and two, it preaches. But you know, the self-checkout, beep, beep, and then what doesn't beep? Are you going to throw it in the bag? Or are you going to, you know, See, nobody's looking. Nobody at church is going to know. Your family's not going to know. But God knows. And that, it's the little things, right? It's the little foxes that we let in the garden that ruin it. It's the little things you catch yourself being tempted to do that we need to fight. Is, you know, are you going to go to hell because you stole something from Target? No. But you've let your guard down. There's a foothold. Are you not going to be forgiven by God because you lie? No, God forgives you. If you repent and change, but you've let a foothold in. And I've shared that about lying at the dump. Where's this trash from? Oh, it's from Huntington when it was from Long Beach. Because you can't dump your trash there if it's not from Huntington. First time it killed me. Ooh, liar. Next 10 times wasn't so hard. It's the little things. We don't want to get in the habit of lying, stealing, and cheating. We don't want that to be easy to do in our lives. Amen? Yeah. So we commit to living rightly before God. And then it says, to be fitted, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's that fitted readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is our foundation that we stand on. That we have peace. peace with God through Jesus Christ. We can't forget that. So many of us get, you know, and that's the devil's point. He wants to defeat you. If he can't get you to hell, and if you're Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're saved, baby. He will want to paralyze you with, I'm just a faker, I'm nothing, I can't share my faith, I'm so bad. We can't, and that's one of our weapons. It's a defensive weapon that is our foundation that we stand on. Yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm a child of God. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus. I ain't perfect, but he is, and he died for me. It's by grace through faith that one is saved by Jesus Christ alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wasn't a threat, was an invitation. You ask me how to get to my house, I'll tell you. And you go, no, I'm going to go my way. And it's like, no, that's how you get there. That's Jesus telling us how to get there. So we literally should always remember, none of us are good enough to earn our way into heaven. None of us, but God. God has made a way because he loves us, because he is the God of love. And that's the foundation that we stand on. And baby, when we sin, we repent, we confess, we repent, and we dust ourselves off and keep going. There is no condemnation in Christ, so why am I going to waste time beating myself up? I'm getting on. Let's go. Right? Amen? That's the foundation. See, these are weapons we have. We have an inheritance. We don't have to hang on to the mistakes and the failures that we make. We can acknowledge it. We can even feel ashamed of it, you know, when we do something rotten, say something, we're angry, we yell, we flip somebody off, right? Oh, that doesn't feel good. Oh, I'm ashamed I did that. But Lord, I repent. I won't do that again. I will fight against the urge to lift my middle finger on the freeway. I will fight against it. You know, and then we move on. Let it go. He doesn't remember our sin as far as the east is from the west. Why should we marinate on it and paralyze ourselves? And it, cause it pours out into our relationships. It affects the way we do life. It's the battlefield of the mind. That is an inheritance that Jesus Christ died to give us. Is that the readiness? We are ready to keep walking in this life because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So now we get to the shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let me get a drink. Taking up is an active voice. Okay, there was a middle voice in that one. There's an active voice in this one, indicating that we have to choose to do this. Again, to take up the shield of faith is to activate our faith, right? In circumstances, you have two choices, fear or faith. And so we have to choose to believe God. We have to choose to believe that his word is true. We have to choose to believe that when he promises us something, it's a promise. We can live in the promise. And we have to remember, we have to have faith that his goodness is never ending. even in our trials, even in our mistakes, even in, you know, the hardest times of our life, God says He will make it good. If it's not good, it ain't over. And I mean, like, I'm not saying it all works out in your favor. I'm saying it might be 5 years down the road, but you look back and you see, oh God, I see what you've done with me through this. I see that this really hard time in my life, when I was feeling broken, when I was feeling lost, when I was feeling lonely, you were really there for me. And you were sanctifying me through this. And I'm not talking about walking away from God through this. I'm talking about staying with God, with, you know, doing your best to trust Him, to walk it out. And that's what I it's so important about community. When you do, when you're tired, when you just don't have it in you to fight a spiritual fight, first go to the throne, cry out to God, but then call somebody. Tell them, let them in. I'm going through this. I need prayer. Can you walk through this with me? And it's okay. That's, we believe first and foremost in this church. We'd rather have you transparent and real than faking it and going, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. When you're not, I mean, you are blessed, but you're not feeling blessed. You're feeling tired, you know, beat down, you know, just sometimes hopeless, sometimes just totally defeated. And we need people in our camp that can lift us up with the word. They've got the word of God in their heart. They have the truth. They have the promises that's already in their heart to share. And they'll share it. You'll share it with your own words in your own way. You won't quote an address, or maybe you will. I'm not good with addresses, but the truth will come out because I've spent time in preparation, right? The reason why we're so big on like discipleship and Bible studies is I'm glad you're here. But if you just come on Sundays, you're starving for the rest of the week. You know, it's important for you to feed yourself during the week. And I was talking to a gentleman this morning, and he's like, well, I got ADHD, and I, you know, it's hard for me to read the Bible. Okay, listen to it. Just get it in you. You know, if you have a hard time reading the word and staying focused, pop some earbuds in. Sit on the couch. Look out, you know, look at the sky and listen. The word of God will get in you. Just get it in you somehow. Cause it's just that one scripture, right? Maybe you read for half an hour or 15 minutes, or it's the one scripture that was right on time. And you go, oh, that's good. It goes right in your heart. Oh, that's good. If He be for me, who can be against me? That's encouraging. That's encouraging to me. And you hold on to that. It's gold. It's weaponry. So that's where the faith comes from, right? Our faith builds in that. The Bible says that in all things, we must give thanks and walk humbly in obedience to God. And it doesn't mean we're like, God, I just thank you so much for this horrible, horrible time that I'm going through in my life. I just praise you and I'm so joyous. It's literally like, God, I am so leaning towards the negative right now in my thought life. I just want to go over a grateful list with you. This is what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that you never change. I'm grateful you promised me that you would be with me. I'm grateful, God, that someday you said that I would have trouble in this world, but Jesus, you've overcome the world. So I know that as hard as life can be, someday I'll be in your glory. Someday, and this life is going like this, isn't it? It's going fast, baby. And the older you get, the faster it goes. Someday we'll be in glory together. None of us will lie. None of us will cheat. None of us are going to talk smack about each other behind their backs. None of us are going to have to worry about rent or your mortgage or your bank account or your body shape. We're going to be whole in glory together, serving God, serving each other perfectly. It'll be beautiful. Hallelujah. It's clappable. It's clappable. But see, that's faith. It's faith. And that's, you know, we have to actively, this is activating faith that shields you. There are fiery arrows coming at all of us. And it's that shield of faith. And some shields were like big enough to where you could just literally like squat behind them and cover your whole body. Proverbs 34 and 5 says this. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. See, in ancient warfare, these fiery darts, they used to light arrows on fire. These fiery darts were launched in great numbers at the beginning of an attack. The idea was not only to injure the enemy, but to shoot at him at all sides with a massive number of darts or arrows. And thus confuse and panic the enemy. Even when such a missile was caught by the shield and did not penetrate the body, it caused panic because it was thrown when well lit and its motion through the air made it blaze most fiercely so that the soldier was tempted to get rid of his burning shield and expose himself to the enemy's spear thrusts. But the shield of faith not only catches the flaming devices, but extinguishes them. Faith will extinguish those things. Yes, they're coming, guys. They're coming. But that's when we activate our faith. We're in a spiritual battle and we will be attacked. We will be tempted with sin. And we will have a choice in those moments. Are we going to do it God's way? Are we going to do it our way? Are we going to operate with faith? Faith and trusting God? Because let me tell you something. Sometimes, I don't know if I should say all the time, but a lot of times, obeying the truth will go against your first instinct. The thing that's been, you know, you've been protecting yourself with your whole life since you were a kid, right? It's the knee-jerk reaction to react, maybe even lie. But you're like, you have to stop these burning arrows. Stop. You know what? I know. This is what I am putting my faith in you, God. If I obey you at your word, if I take the high road, if I come in love and humbleness and I just tell the truth, I walk in the truth, I'm going to trust you for the outcome. Because it can be scary in relationships when the other person, you know, isn't trustworthy in that area. But you can trust God. Doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. Okay, have healthy boundaries, but you can deal with anything life throws at you, any flaming arrow coming at you with faith in God, faith that his word is true. You not only will catch that arrow, but it will extinguish it because you're just walking it out, walking out your faith. Our shield is not what we believe. It's how we believe and in whom we believe in. Okay? Relying on the person, the purposes, and the power of God. We rely on the person, who he is. The purposes, he's faithful to finish what he started in me. He said he would turn all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I love him. I've been called according to his purpose to glorify him with my life. Okay. I'll do all I can. I'll do the best I can and leave the results up to you, God. However this rolls out, I trust you. And I know, because you've given me your Holy Spirit, I know you'll help me. And I'm asking you, help me. Help me, Lord. I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. To pull this off, I need you. I need you. To do the word, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. Guide me, speak to me, convict me when I sin against you. If I grieve you, Holy Spirit, grieve me. So I can feel it, repent of it, and keep on keeping on. Charles Spurgeon said this, we're not to neglect our sincerity or commitment, our righteousness, our peace, or our peace. But above all, as the most important, we are to see to it that our faith is right, that it be true faith, and that it covers all our virtues from attack. There's no respect in which faith is not useful to us. Therefore, whatever you leave out, if you're going to leave out anything in the armor of God, see to your faith. If you forget all besides, be careful above all that ye take the shield of faith. And then, again, we are told above all to take the shield of faith, because faith preserves from all sorts of enemies. The fiery darts of the wicked, does that refer to Satan? Faith answers him. Does that refer to wicked men? Faith resists them. Does that refer to one's own wicked self? Faith can overcome that. Does it refer to the whole world? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It matters not who the enemy may be. Let the earth be all in arms abroad. This faith can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, then, take the shield of faith. Well said, Charles Spurgeon. And it's, okay, so what does faith look like? I'm going to borrow Annalette's little stool again. Oh my gosh. I have faith that this is going to hold me. Notice I just tested it. I haven't researched this company. I don't know where this was made. But I have faith that it'll hold me, and I'm putting all my weight on it right now. This is what we do with God. We put all our weight on God. I'm literally giving you my life. I'm letting you have it all. You get every outcome. It will change our prayers It'll change our prayer life when we realize, hey, come hell or high water, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Who else has the words of life, Lord? I know too much to run from you any longer. I know too much. I know you're real. I've experienced you in so many ways. And if you're new, stick around, because you'll see God move. You're here for a reason. You're on purpose for a purpose. Trust me. But we begin to just, faith is like, look, God, You're good. You're in control. And I know bad things are going to happen and good things are going to happen. It'll be like two train tracks, blessings and trials. They're going to be running alongside each other because life is life. And that's the way it is. But you're with me. And it's literally like, I'm not responsible for the outcome. It's you, God. You're sovereign. You know the end from the beginning. You know all things. I trust you. I trust you. I release it. It's also a really, it's a beneficial way to forgiving those that are hard to forgive. People have done things to you that have hurt you. You need to forgive them. Out of obedience to God, that doesn't justify what they did. It's just, I don't want to have that poison in my heart anymore. I don't want to give him any more space in my mind. I'm leaning my whole weight on you, God. You are the justifier. You are my strong tower. You will go to war for me. My battle is not against flesh and blood, like it says earlier in the scripture. Amen. So then we come to the helmet of salvation. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So let's talk about the helmet of salvation. The Greek word for take is dekomai, and it means to receive or accept, almost like God handed us the helmet of salvation. Paul's speaking to Christians. This is not about attaining salvation, but rather the assurance of it. Our assurance that, man, I'm born again, I'm saved. There is something very powerful knowing that there is no devil in hell, no man on earth that can yank my salvation from me. Because if we could lose our salvation, I would have. But we can't. There's an assurance there that I have peace with God. I'm going to be okay. There's something very, very powerful, and it protects the brain, the mind. We're going to have crazy thoughts. Pastor Chris has crazy thoughts sometimes. Yes, they're drive-bys. You can't stop the drive-by from happening, but you can sure stop it from camping out and marinating on that crazy thought. Another inheritance. The Bible tells us we can take every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Does that thought line up with the truth? No. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. That's our right. We can't stop the thoughts from coming. They're coming. And I have thoughts that, man, I shake my head, go, oh my gosh. Really? But that's it. I will not. I have committed, right? It's about us committing with God, committing to his promises, committing to living in the truth, committing to all of this, that because I'm saved, I do have the authority over my thoughts. I do. And I refuse to allow lies to be manifested in my thought life. I will not do it. I stop it as soon as I start thinking about it again. I shake my head. I might even laugh. Oh, Jonesy. Oh my gosh. And that's it. Done. I'm done with it. I rebuke it. It's not true. I know I have a sin nature, and that sin nature, it thinks of some crazy things. It causes me to, it's fiery darts. Our own sinful selves. But we are not bound any longer to that. We are born again Christians, resurrected into the new life with an inheritance, with salvation, covering our minds, which means we have the ability to resurrect above all of the things that people, I mean, look, how many people you know that are just prisoners of their past? Things, awful things have happened to them, or you know, things that, why do you think there's so many drug addicts and alcoholics? People are running. They're medicating. Why do you think there's, you know, so many people that, I mean, they literally, I do hardwood floors too, okay? And in some of these places, we go to these malls and there's apartments on top of the malls. Like, people want to live as close to Louis Vuitton and Gucci as they possibly can. And that's their identity. And they walk around on their phones, and it's just all, we have been set free from all of that. Having things is okay. Things having you is not. We have been born again, set free from that mindset of this is all there is in the world. You better get all you can, put it in a can, and sit on the lid. That's a lie. Our spirits will live forever somewhere. And so how we live means something eternally. Yes, we will all be judged on our lives, you guys. We'll be before the mercy seat of Christ, of course. It's not the great white throne judgment where people who have rejected the gospel will stand before. But we still will be judged on what we did with our lives. And the stuff that burns up, burns up. The stuff that makes it through the fire, well, that's, it says there's rewards there. So it matters. This life matters. And we have to remember that we are born again. That we're not bound to sin anymore. Yes, we're going to sin, but we don't have to keep repeating a cycle. You know what I love most is hearing testimonies about people that have been born again, that have committed to putting on the full armor of God and have broken generational curses in their family. It's like, yeah, you know, you don't have to do it. Generation after generation, your family has had this issue, and not anymore. Because you accepted Jesus. Talk about a family tree saver, or, you know, like a vitamin in the soil. It's important. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that when you hope for what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So there is a full inheritance that we will receive when we pass from this life to the next. There is a full inheritance that we will receive from Jesus. And we need to remember that. That's our helmet. And we remember this. There's three kind of aspects of salvation. We've been saved when we gave our life to Jesus Christ. We got born again, right? It's a God thing. He's the one who regenerates the heart. He's the one who changes a satanic, idol-worshipping, pagan scumbag into a pastor. He's the one, right? So as soon as we give our lives to Christ, we are positionally saved. But then we're being saved. That's what we're going through now, which is sanctification. God is saving us from ourselves. It's a sanctification process. So salvation It's still happening in and through us. Positionally, we're set. Again, that never changes. Nothing ever changes about that. But we're being saved and sanctified, and then we will be saved when we're glorified. Right? Finally. Finally. And that's why we don't have to be afraid to die anymore, guys. For a Christian, it's but a transition into glory, into transition into something better. It's all of us who are still here that are sad. You won't be. You'll be like, this is the best day ever. Ever. That's a promise. It's something very powerful when you don't have to be afraid to die. A lot of people are. And look, if you still are, I'm not going to hold it against you. It's like, what's that phrase? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. You know? I get it. Salvation is the foundational doctrine to understand cognitively and to know experientially that we are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how about the sword of the Spirit? The word, the Greek word for sword is makara, and it refers to a Roman gladius, a short, two-edged sword about 2 feet long. So it's used for close hand-to-hand combat. It's not... This is made for close hand-to-hand combat. Is the sword he's talking about. This is the only clearly offensive weapon on the list that Paul mentions. The word that he's talking about, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the rhema word. To speak, to say. It refers to the spoken word with precision and understanding. The logos word is the written word, the general knowledge. So what Paul is speaking about is us, getting that logos in us so we're understanding it and then using it. We speak to our circumstances. We speak to those things. We can activate in offense to our to situate people, places, and things. We can activate with the word of God. And I'm not talking about name it and claim it prosperity gospel type stuff. But I am saying that we can speak the word. God, your word says. When Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights and he was tempted by Satan, he said what? It is written. It is written. That's how he smoked the devil in the desert. Beat him with the word. The word, if you know you're going to the battle, to effectively use this sword, the sword of the Spirit, is to hold God's word as the final, inerrant, meaning there's no error, infallible, which means it never fails, eternal word. This is the eternal truth. You see, this whole armor all kind of coincides together, right? It fits. It's brilliant. Totally Holy Spirit led by Paul. Because if you're like, I don't know if it's all true. Right? I still think it's a book to try to, so that we live our best lives now. Now. These words were written thousands of years ago and it's still alive and vibrant and true and still cuts to the core of us. The Holy Spirit inspired writings of the word. He illuminates it to the believer and he strengthens us with it so we can use it. He also helps us use it for offensive and defensive spiritual warfare. So the Holy Spirit himself inspired it. He helps us understand it. And then he will help us use it. If you know you're going into battle, okay, for real, wouldn't you want to practice before? Wouldn't you want to maybe practice a little bit before a knife fight, a sword fight? You want to practice, right? That's what we do. That's what we do. That's why it's, I over and over again, I'll tell you, like, we don't just read the word because this is what we do. We're Christians and we just read the Bible. And that's, I mean, yes, that's true, but we offer Bible studies and discipleship classes here so you can have more than just a Sunday. I want you to be at home studying on your own. And it's like, it seems like if you're going to the Wednesday night Bible study or the Thursday night Bible study, that you're going home and you have, you know, like Mac and the ladies on Wednesday nights, they have a chapter to go home and read throughout the week. And they read the same chapter. Well, they're supposed to read it, you know, every day. You read the same thing every day. And that's not a lot. That's not spending hours and hours and hours in the word. That's taking some time, sitting down, focusing on a chapter every day, because you keep reading that every day, it gets in you, and then they discuss it. They sit down, hey, how did you interpret that? You know, how did that move on you? And we share, and we go, that's this perspective I didn't think about, or I really didn't know what it meant. And now somebody explains it. It's like, because it's so valuable, because that's practicing. It's practicing so that we can use it in an offensive way. We can use the word of God in offense. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of the Lord is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." See, so first, the word cuts away at our sinful behaviors. The word, the double-edged sword, first, just methodically and surgically, removes all those dark places in my life. But then it turns around and I'm able to use it as a weapon to war against the principalities and powers that I'm battling in my own life. Now I can turn around and use it. I let it convict me, change me, grow me, bless me. And then I use it. I use it against the principalities and powers that consistently come against me. So let's move to 18 because we're running out of time. And pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Listen, prayer, I said this yesterday to the guys. Prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie, not a domestic intercom to God. Hello, God. I'd like to order some chicken fingers, please. Lord, can you bless me? No. Prayer is a wartime. God, I need you. Lord, I'm praying for the people at his place. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to make us a church that is obedient to your word, God, that we would forsake the world and forsake our culture and just be sold out to you, Jesus, that we would be so united as one people that we wouldn't have any of that discord, that we would really do what your word says. And when we have a problem with each other, we go to each other. We go to each other and we deal with it and we both come in humbly and we get reconciled in that disagreement. And I'm God, we're going to need you. We're going to need you over here, Lord. We're going to need your spirit here with us because we're just broken sinners, God. But we are yours. We are saints. We are blessed by you. We are filled with your Holy Spirit. God, send your mighty hand into this church and change us. Be praying for your brothers and sisters. Be praying for those who are not, that don't know Jesus yet. Do you know we can't save anybody. God does. What we can do is, God, I'm asking you to touch them, God. I'm asking you to draw them towards you. Let them experience you like I get to. Prayers work. John 15, 16 and 17, Jesus says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Pray. Ask God and then believe by faith that he's moving. It's his timing. God is not a microwave. He will do it when he wants to do it. It'll be done right and it'll be done in his time. A praying church is a strong and unified church. No matter how complete the armor, the skills of battle and courage without prayer will be defeated. We need to be praying. You need to talk to the Father in the name of Jesus. Because we're in Christ. So we pray and it goes through the Son to the Father. He and the Father answers. It's not Jesus turning to the Father saying, hey, they want this. It goes right to the Father through the Son. And the Father moves. Meaningful, heartfelt prayer moves God's mighty hand. And we'll end with this. Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. Paul says, pray also for me. Whenever I speak, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I'm asking you, church, that you would pray for me and the other pastors to do the same always for you and us. Pray for us that we would never shrink back from the truth. That we would preach the word as we should, as it was written, as the Holy Spirit leads us, he will lead us into all truth. And there will just that no pastor, no teacher here would ever shrink back and be afraid of what man might think, but to literally preach the word, preach the gospel with conviction and with passion. Amen. All right. Well, I don't ever want to end a service without giving an opportunity. You know, we talked a lot about salvation and faith. And it all starts with, you know, a commitment. And so we believe, bless you. Yeah. We believe at this church that it starts with a surrender. You know, it's been my experience that when I cried out to God And he was faithful. And that's why I stand here today. And salvation has come to this church for you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have, you've said the prayer, but you know your life hasn't been anything like we talked about today. I want to give you a chance to rededicate your heart. And it's not the prayer that saves you, but it's the God you're crying out to who does. So that's why we take the time at the end of service to do this. Because God's faithful even if you're not. Even though we aren't, God is. He will honor a broken and contrite heart that just wants him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you right now. Amen. I see your hands. I see your hands. Hallelujah. 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 What a great day. So we'll pray this prayer together, and it's a profession of faith. So let's pray it out loud together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Right on. Father God, I just pray your highest and best blessing over your people. Shine your face on them, God, and remind us all this week about your armor, about our inheritance, about how we've been set apart from this dark world to shine, bless, and convict the people in it, God. So let us always walk in love, courage, and faith. And bless your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.